This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We've got to talk to a guy coming off his first game. It is our good friend from ESPN, but more importantly, the Panthers play-by-play guy for radio, Anish Shroff. Anish, how you doing, sir?
What's going on? How are you doing?
Doing very well. I got to ask, obviously we want to talk about the Panthers, but on this show we like to talk real life, and it's a real life thing to start a new gig. So what was it like on your first call for the Carolina Panthers?
It was a lot of fun. You know, I think once you settle in for about a quarter, you sort of realize, all right, I've been doing some version of this my entire life.
And, yep.
Instincts kind of take over. And Jim Zocchi and Kurt Coleman, man, they were wonderful. You know, I think the thing that helped probably more than anything was the fact that, you know, we had sort of done a mock broadcast during FanFest. And so you're trying to build chemistry with these guys. You know, it's not going to be overnight, but those guys were so welcoming. And we had some fun on the air, and it was preseason, so there was a lighter tone to it,
sure,
which probably helped. But I had a lot of fun doing it, man. It was exciting to get going.
And just to be sure, I heard some of the broadcast, but not the whole thing. So let me check. They didn't make you eat mayonnaise, did they?
Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is, we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
Not yet.
Okay.
They might be saving that for week 2.
No, we all know during the Duke's Mayo Bowl that you sat there and watched Mike Golic Jr. try all different kinds of mayo combinations, and I even think tried some yourself. So hopefully that doesn't happen. The other thing I did hear, you were congratulating the broadcast crew a little bit early about not missaying the Washington Commanders, because obviously there's been some name changes there, and then they got on you about possibly an early jinx. Did you end up with a perfect game there?
We sure did.
Nice.
We sure did. I just wanted to keep that on everybody's radar. So Bram Weinstein, who's the Washington Commanders play-by-play voice, and bless him, now this is his third year. He took over when they changed their name to the Washington Football Team, and now here they are as the Commanders. He was telling me pregame that they had a jar in the booth last year or the last 2 years.
Sure.
And anytime somebody said the old team name, you know, the original team name, you had to put a 20 in the jar. Nobody had said it. And, you know, as you kind of go, again, this is one of the, you know, old guards of the NFL. And so it's sort of imprinted in your mind. Not even so much Washington Football Team, the other name. And so you're sort of conscious about that. So I probably called them Washington quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday.
Lean on Washington. And, man, the $20, I thought you were going to say had to put a quarter in the jar. The $20 bill, they roll big up there in Washington. All right, the big question coming in is quarterback situation for the Panthers. Each guy got one series. They both did pretty good things with it. Is there a takeaway at all from you in the quarterback department, or is that one of those where we may not know until week one who the starter is?
I think we'll know before that. I think these next few days coming up here with the joint practices against New England could potentially reveal who the starting quarterback is. But, you know, you do have to apply context, right? Christian McCaffrey didn't play.
Sure.
DJ Moore didn't play. Ian Thomas was out. They're thin at tight end. I'm sure you add those guys to the mix. Whoever the quarterback is probably looks a little bit better. But I thought each of them did some pretty good things. Baker, especially on third down, but then he also had, you know, the fumbled exchange between he and the center. Sam Darnold, short field. I thought he made a great throw to Higgins in the corner of the end zone. The next drive, though, three and out. So, you know, there were sort of good and bad both ways. One preseason game, really small sample size. I would expect a decision, again, and I'm about to go to practice, and I'll see what Matt Rhule has to say afterwards, but I would be probably expecting maybe a decision after the second preseason game. Maybe it doesn't happen that way. I think they're going to give it the two full practices, then give each of the guys, you know, the preseason game and then make a decision. But that's just pure speculation on my end.
Going off what you said, because you're exactly right. Like, they're playing in a preseason game and they're doing quarterback things, but it's not like they're actually running the Panthers offense as it will be in the regular season. With that being the case, like, how much of it is based on what's happening in practice or how much is happening in the game when it's such a pared down game? Like, is it, what do you think are the things that are most driving what will be the ultimate decision of who the starter is?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's going to be these next 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, the joint practices with New England. You know, because that, again, it's a little more closed circuit. So, yes, there's television cameras there, but you can start to simulate a lot of things. There's, you know, a lot of cross-pollination with both coaching staffs. Hey, we want to see this out of our quarterback. Okay, we'll show you some blitz packages. We'll show you some pressure. We'll show you some zone blitzes. And you can kind of get a better read of, you know, hey, can this quarterback make changes at the line of scrimmage? Can they pick up certain things the defense is trying to do? Can they, you know, use some of these advanced complex intricacies that are in Ben McAdoo's offense? So I think these next two practices will dictate a lot. I think they're going to be weighed heavily. I would say almost it's, you know, not a midterm and a final, but it's probably midterm and a midterm.
Sure.
And then, you know, the preseason game on Friday, more like a pop quiz. But I think it'll be more weighted to these practices Tuesday, Wednesday.
All right, so big week for Panthers quarterback situation. Anish Shroff joining us, the Panthers radio play-by-play guy. I love saying that. Love having you down there in Charlotte. Outside of quarterback, what are the things that that you thought were stood out the most in week one, either questions that you had coming in that you were looking for or things that just popped out in the course of the game?
Yeah, you know, a couple of things. One, I thought the offensive line – especially the ones and twos, looked vastly improved. You know, Ikem Ekwonu did not start with the ones, but he got a lot of reps with the ones in training camp. But just that new-look offensive line with Austin Corbett, Bradley Bozeman, who ran mostly with the twos, Brady Christensen, you know, seeing his ability to play tackle and guard. This is going to be a vastly improved offensive line, which helps McCaffrey, and it helps the quarterback eventually. And then some of the young players they took later in the draft, so much is made of Icky and Matt Corral, who's the quarterback, but I thought Amari Barno played really well. Speed rusher out of Virginia Tech, you know, he ran a sub 4.440 at the combine, exploded off the edge to get pressure on the quarterback early in the first half. That led to a turnover, recovered a fumble also in the first quarter. That led to a touchdown from Darnold to Higgins. And then Brandon Smith, the rookie linebacker out of Penn State, again, quick twitch guy, really athletic, made some plays in the middle of the field, had some big hits. So, you know, those were some bright spots. Special teams, I think, is going to be a huge bright spot with Johnny Hecker, Zane Gonzalez, and Andre Roberts in the kick game, also the coverage game. So, you know, those were a couple things that I took away.
Anish Shroff joining us. I started with a question, sort of personal. I'm going to end with one kind of personal, too. We'll hear, you can hear him on Panther Talk across the state. Well, probably multiple states there, but we're in North Carolina. You'll hear him all season long. What was it about, and I don't know your full career. I know we've been very familiar with your work because you do a lot of ACC games. And so we've seen you in ACC country. And I don't know if you've ever been a play-by-play announcer for a specific team at another point in your career. But what was it about this time in your life or your career where you wanted to make that move and be associated with a team? Because I know that comes with a little bit different role than, you know, showing up and calling a game and then showing up somewhere and calling two new teams the next night. Now you're, you know, part of the face of the franchise. You'll be doing these radio spots. I'm sure you're, you know, talking to Josh Graham and Joe Giglio and all guys all across the state all week, you know, and every week. What was it that sort of wanted you to move in that direction and sort of be part of a team?
Well, you know, first, I just want to clarify for everybody, I'll still be doing stuff for ESPN.
Sorry, I did not mean to suggest that was over. Sorry.
No. I think that's kind of been the one misconception. So I still plan on continuing doing the stuff with ESPN. Love college sports, love college football, college basketball. But for me and my family, more than anything, Charlotte has become home. We've been here now more than a decade. It's going to be 11 years for me in September since I first moved to Charlotte. And when I found out Mick was retiring, you know, the idea of potentially succeeding him and having an opportunity not just to be, you know, the voice of a team and try to connect the players and the coaches to our fans, but really a chance to be more in the community, you know, that meant something to me. Hey, this is home, and when you have this local platform to impact your community in a positive way, that meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to my family. And, you know, had the same opportunity been afforded in Cincinnati or Dallas or Kansas City, I'm not moving. You know, this made sense because it was Charlotte. I wanted to be here, and I wanted to be here because Charlotte's my home, and we've embraced this city, and it just really gave us an opportunity as a family and for me personally just to really further entrench ourselves in this area, in the Carolinas, be a part of the community, get to know more people in the community, and try to impact it in a positive way, knowing that, you know, we have the platform now of the Panthers, which is arguably the biggest platform in the Carolinas.
Yep. Man, I love your words. We have good-natured rivalry between Raleigh and Charlotte, but I know exactly what you mean about supporting your community. And as a native North Carolinian, I couldn't be happier, and I love hearing you describe it that way. I think there's a lot of people who work in professional sports in North Carolina who say the exact same thing. Of like, it's not just about the job I'm in, but it's about the community I'm in. So I get chills hearing you talk like that. I love you being the radio play-by-play voice. I hope you're on in that role for the rest of my life. I mean that, as long as you want to do that, because it'd be an awesome run. But we will still catch you on ACC games, because you'll see him on ESPN and you'll see him tweeting about lacrosse and all that stuff too. So awesome to see you in that role. It's been great hearing you on Panther Talk. It's been great hearing you on the Panthers games. I always catch some of every broadcast on the radio. Usually it's a combo of radio and TV for me. So keep up the great work. Panthers fans and Panthers Nation behind you 100%, and we're excited about the season, man.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's funny that you mentioned the ACC stuff, because week one for college football, I've got NC State at ECU.
Yeah.
You
know, oh, wow.
Yeah, yes. It's all Carolinas. Here we go.
Dude, you might have to, like, just come do an hour of radio. I mean, that have you ever done an NC State ECU? Have you done an ECU game in Greenville?
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
I've done a couple of games. Yeah, I think I want to say I had it was ECU, maybe UConn, and then I had somebody else that ECU was playing out of Dowdy Ficklin. So I've done, want to say, one or two games out there.
All right.
And it's been a minute. It's been a minute, but I've been to the Boneyard. I've been there, and I mean, you know this. You guys cover NC State all the time. I have so many friends in Charlotte who are NC State fans. And I'm kind of like going through a couple of things with them. And they say, what do you think? I said, I think you guys have a chance to be pretty good. And their reaction is, don't say that.
Yeah, that's typical NC State fan. But, man, let me tell you something. ECU, NC State, the first weekend of the college football season where State is a number 13 team in the country, is going to be a little bit different than ECU, UConn. You're going to love it down there, man. And I don't know who's going to win the game, but I know it is going to be hype at kickoff. So I'm very excited now to know that you're on the call, and I'm very excited for you to be able to witness that. So enjoy that along with a great Panther season, man. I appreciate the time today.
Appreciate you guys. See you.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.